Welcome to the Sounds of Success, brought to you by the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. This audio magazine is a tool for generating profitable ideas and for taking your business to new levels of excellence and performance. Here you'll find real-life case studies of school owners just like you who have applied our proven successful business and marketing principles to their school and are creating the business of their dreams as a result.
Hi, Stephen Oliver here, CEO of the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. We're talking to two very special martial artists today, coming from hot and sticky Houston, Texas. We have Eric Williams and Hai Nguyen. And gentlemen, rather than me trying to walk everybody through it, what I'd like to do is give them a little sense of your background, which is pretty extensive. You gentlemen run Elite MMA in Houston and have two schools now. If that's correct, one of them we'll have you walk through, but I think you have about 600 adults in your primary school and have a pretty extensive curriculum of Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, Muay Thai, kickboxing, and cardio kickboxing. So, Eric, let's start with you. Let's give them a little bit of your background. You've got quite an accomplished competitive record as well as record in training. So give everybody a little bit of your background.
Okay. Well, originally, I started wrestling as a kid and won 5 national championships and was training on the Olympic 200 project, and I broke my neck and my arm was paralyzed for a couple of years. But later I got into doing karate, did some taekwondo, karate, some mudo kwan, then started training boxing and Thai boxing. And then in 93, got involved in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. So it's been a lot of years training different martial arts, and just something I love, and I love to share with others. It's made a huge difference in my life.
Well, so go ahead.
I started teaching, I started teaching in 93 and was doing that part-time, and in 2000 started teaching full-time.
Yeah, and you're fairly accomplished in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well. Let's not be too too shy about your accolades. Give them a little bit of your competitive record in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and some of your accomplishments there.
Okay, yeah. So, it took me 10 years. In 2002, I received a black belt, and I won the International Masters Black Belt Division. And then 2003, I won the Absolute World Championships, International Masters, Black Belt Division, and was second in my weight. That was the other way around. I won the Absolute and won my weight and took second in the Absolute. And then in 2005, I won the Absolute and took second in my weight. So, yeah, I've been, blessed competitively for Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu as well.
Yeah, and then something else I'll throw in here is that you and your partner are both kind of that second generation of school owners. I'd put myself in that category too, but you have a pretty decent educational background. You're from my old stomping ground. You've got a degree in from OSU, so you suffered through being a Sooner. And tell them a little bit about what your educational background is and how it applies to what you're doing, because it's fairly credible here.
Oh, so yeah, I went to Oklahoma State I was planning on going on a wrestling scholarship till I was injured, but so I ended up with a bachelor's degree with honors in psychology and economics. And so it kind of played its way. I wanted to do sports psychology, and it all plays into, teaching and making a difference in people's lives that way. And then the economics degree helped out in terms of helping to run the business.
You bet. You bet. Well, let's shift over to your partner. Hi, let's give him a little bit of your background. You've got an extensive martial arts and educational and technical background.
Yeah, so I started, with Bruce Lee, helped pave the way. So I did a little bit of Kung Fu, about 8 months of Kung Fu. Then after that, I met Eric. I played high school baseball, but then kind of lost the edge on that. So I found Eric in the Yellow Pages, and then, it's one of the, probably the second or second student there. And, you know, it was pretty fun. About 135 pounds, and the next smallest guy was about 220 pounds. So it was educational. And so with that, I just started training with Eric with submission wrestling. Back in the day, being in Houston, you really didn't have a technical background on jiu-jitsu. It's kind of like a caveman era. But then we started in 97, we really started taking off on the jiu-jitsu. Was it 97 Pedro came?
95.
Then we really started taking a hold of embracing the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Spent about a summer in Brazil training in Rio. And then, while I was doing that, training Muay Thai, JKD, anything I could get my hands on and stuff like that, just an open space for knowledge. And then, a lot of that. And then, finished my degree in cum laude from Managing Information Systems from the University of Houston. And then, just went and then got a Cisco Certified Network Associate certificate, but I don't use that much. But I programmed similar to Eric's status. First did the school, kind of helping out, then went part-time at work and helped out the school part-time, and then really made the commitment to go full-time, and then it's been a blast since.
Yeah, fabulous. Now your school, your main school in Houston there, and correct me if I've got the numbers wrong, but you've got about 600 adults, predominantly men, training in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and or Muay Thai. Is that about right?
We're probably about 520 adults and about 90 children.
Okay.
And it is predominantly male adults in the traditional arts, and but a good cross section for the cardio kickboxing program that High runs.
Right. So right now in your school, you've got a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu program, a Muay Thai program, a cardio kickboxing program, and then the kids program, which is predominantly Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Yes.
Yeah, and you also have a second school now. That's, if I understand it, I'll let you explain. How many active, and what's the primary focus of the second location so far?
So the second location has about 185 active currently, and it's primarily Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and the mixture is probably about 60 kids, and the remaining 120 is adult.
Absolutely. So, I mean, you've got a very, very robust program there, and we just got done with an Inner Circle meeting. Following that meeting, if you were going to project forward in the next year, what do you think your, let's just take the one main school, what do you think that school's gross revenue is likely to be at, let's say, by this time next year, and where are you at now?
So, our gross revenue is running around, the average is in around 80 right now, and we're wanting to do there's a lot of systems that we wanted to implement after the Inner Circle meeting, and so we would like to of course, double that by next year or get somewhere close to that. There were a lot of things we found at the Inner Circle meeting that we could improve upon programming wise and to increase our gross revenue and net revenue.
Yeah, so to summarize, right now you're running about $1 million a year at that main location. By next year, my guess is you're a $2 million a year school. With some major tweaks and adjustments and some minor tweaks and adjustments, on a standpoint of new people in the door, and you guys have probably done a better job than most anybody in that Inner Circle group of driving your predominant traffic through the Internet. So let's talk about how many new inquiries, how many new intros, how many new students are you getting on an average month right now, would you say?
I would say probably, inquiries were probably, roughly around, we're probably doing about 80 to 100 intros a week, a month, and stuff. So, you know, we're pretty slammed as far as on a weekly basis. We're averaging anywhere from 20 to 25 intros a week. And so, you know, we'll depending on the months, we're averaging anywhere from 35 to 45 signups. You know, we've gotten as high as about, what is it?
60.
About 60 was the highest we've ever, you know, been so far.
So 60 so far is your record, and you're averaging about how many per month?
I would say, roughly around 35 to 40 range. Something will fluctuate those two numbers.
We got to fix that record, by the way. You know, my personal record was I enrolled 36 people in one day one time. And I think it was 78 in 1 month.
Wow.
Different months, by the way. But so we're going to get you where you're doing 75, 80 enrollments a month. But that doubled where you're at right now, price point. So as far as usefulness with all the members, give them some action steps and some action plans. And what's interesting, by the way, is a lot of people think of either NAPNA in general or me in specific as being like focused on Taekwondo schools or something. Your experience so far with Inner Circle is there a predisposition that way, or is this especially the Inner Circle participation been something that's been extremely useful for you?
Oh, it's been a tremendous help. The business aspect of it and the concepts that and then the exchanging of ideas between the different members, it's basically like an open source. Everybody's just in helping each other to raise each other to the next level. As far as, I mean, you can ask anybody anything and you get, you know, whatever it is that you need to get from them in a positive manner. And I have regular conversations with a certain Inner Circle members and stuff, just picking their ideas on the continuum. And you know, the Inner Circle is a great connection point for everyone to kind of merge their ideas together, and then just see what works and what doesn't work. What did you see from it, Eric?
Yeah, I mean, you can pitch style and stuff like that, but at the end of the day, I mean, really, I believe that as martial arts schools are, you know, hopefully we're here to make a difference in people's lives in a positive manner. And how you go about that, you know, from a systems-wise is pretty, you know, some systems are just better than others, and that was part of what we needed to learn. Dealing with children and adults is a little bit different animal, but, I mean, your experience, I mean, we're always amused because we'll show up at a meeting and you'll be telling stories about things you did that you thought were great ideas that didn't turn out to be so great. And I'm always laughing because I spent a year or two and quite a bit of money making that same mistake, and I could have just saved all that by having been in the Inner Circle sooner.
Yeah. It's all those seemed like a good idea at the time things that, and unfortunately back in the 70s and 80s, there weren't a whole bunch of people around. There was really wasn't that that source. I had some wonderful mentors between June Ree and Jeff Smith and Nick Okina, but you know we had to the pioneers are always the ones with arrows in their backs, right? So there was a lot more mistakes that nobody was there to short circuit for us ahead of time. Let's walk through and. There's clearly a huge adult market right now, but I think schools misunderstand what that adult market is, and you know I've talked to a bunch of schools recently who are teaching Shotokan or something, and they lament the fact that you know everybody in the world wants to learn MMA, but let's talk about that as MMA is a buzzword versus what you're really teaching and what the format of what you're teaching looks like, because as I understand, the vast majority of your students, adult males, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're looking at more or less 28 and up, college-educated adult males, who many of them come in saying they want to learn MMA, and in reality you're primarily driving them into Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu with regular belt tests, regular progress updates, and a formal setting. Is that a valid statement?
Yeah, I mean, it's always, you know, it would be like me wanting to learn race car driving at 200 miles an hour. It starts to get a different perspective with cars 2 inches away. So the thing about it is, like, it's just finding, you know, it's fun, you want something that's fun, that's palatable, and you see it's on TV a lot right now. And so it's coming in and, you know, training and then having an opportunity to train at the level that you want to train at. And so, you know, we have professional fighters, we have amateur fighters, and we have people here that are just wanting to do stuff to have fun and lose weight and have a good time at it. And so, you know, we really see it as trying to provide, you know, that providing at the customer at the level that he chooses to participate. And so, yeah, and the bulk of the population, you know, I'm 46 now. Thai boxing is a little rougher than when I was 20, so it's just a little bit different. You know, it's got to be something that's palatable to me at the time and where I am in my life.
Well, what would you say is the ratio? What's the ratio of 32-year-old male executive, well-educated, wants to train versus 20-something wants to be a professional or amateur fighter?
Probably you're looking at maximum probably 5% wanting to be fighters. You know, that's just being generous with the number. Now I'd say 95%. Just, you know, they, you know, a lot of times I think we're a stand for an educational institution, and some people just come in and want MMA because that's what they see on TV, and they don't really understand the actual martial arts behind what they see on the TV.
That was my next question. Of the people who are contacting you, what percentage of them really know what they're looking for, versus they just want to train in martial arts and MMA is what they say they're looking for?
Yeah, I mean, the bulk of the populace is watching on TV and you know, distinguishing, I mean, martial arts are, and everybody wants the secret martial art, right? The one that you, and that's really, in my opinion, you can label it and sell it. But there's some fundamental physics that work, and, you know, and you can label it, you know, some people may get upset with that. But personally, I believe that, you know, martial arts have been around for thousands of years, and they've been labeled differently over the years. But there's some things that work better for some things than others. And so you're really trying to find a martial art that's palatable to you, that's fun, and fulfills on what you wanted to create. And, you know, you can label it whatever you want. But at the end of the day, the techniques that would have you, you know, there are certain techniques you need for war in Afghanistan. There are certain techniques you need for, you know, a self-defense situation in Houston, and a different one in Manila. So it's just there are different things for different places. We don't get too hung up on the style.
Yeah. Well, and neither do your prospective students in almost all cases, right? Because, I mean, they really don't know, I mean, in what it is they're looking for.
No, that's correct. I mean, you're going to see stuff advertised and on TV, and but, you know, we see good crossovers in the different arts and stuff. So, I mean, you're older. I mean, I remember, you know, years ago I was with the Wild Bunch in Oklahoma, and you know, we were doing full contact sparring with no mouthpiece or headgear and on the concrete. So it was, we were doing takedowns on there. So it was some of that back then.
Yeah, been there, done that. Yeah, I mean, that's people forget. I mean, just to you know, share that short history lesson. But I mean, in the 60s, pretty much everybody started with judo, and that's certainly myself and Chuck Norris and Bill Wallace, and you can go through a list. And then it became, especially in our area of the country, kind of Taekwondo, because Junry, Alan Steen, and Pat Burleson. And all of the early tournaments were mixed martial arts. I mean, we did hip throws and supporting leg sweeps and no pads, and you know, a lot of times you hit them and they couldn't continue, so therefore you won the fight. And so they missed that. And I was talking to Alan Steen one time, and at his big tournament, the year I competed, Pat Worley won the tournament. He told me they had 48 ambulance runs that day. And it was literally full contact with foam pads on a concrete floor. And, you know, it really, mixed martial arts was what Jeet Kune Do was. You know, in Bruce Lee's inception, all you have to do is go watch Enter the Dragon, and you see no-gi grappling, right, and the whole gamut. So the only thing that's new is that as a spectator sport, you know, mixed martial arts and the Octagon and the Gracies and then the UFC now with Dana White and gang have popularized it at the level that boxing is or better. And that's a new experience. It's what the PKA guys were trying to accomplish and never could quite get it to popularize at this level. But now it is with UFC and all of the spinoffs. So let's talk about how you generate 80 to 100 intros a month now. So I know you're predominantly focused on getting the traffic from your website and the internet. So let's give them two or three keys. What are some of the things that you're doing? And your website is what? EliteMMA.com?
Elite-MMA.com, yeah, correct.
Okay. But most of your traffic is coming from SEO and pay-per-click and now Facebook. Is that correct?
Correct.
So let's give them a little breakdown. What are you doing online to target your prospective students? And you're in a big metro area. You're in Houston, which is what, the third biggest metro area in the United States now?
Yeah, it's third now. A lot of it is like going to the inner circle. We had those clicks and things working, but really the real shift was when we decided to join the inner circle was in November, I think, of last year, which would have taken about 8 months ago. It was when I think you said you need to take action, period. And that really was the paradigm shift for us on that, and things just started moving along. So as far as a technical point of view, you know, like, didn't do anything that much more different, but it was just like when you made that one of those lectures to us about that, or just giving us insights, was, you know, just creating those, having that account, the pay-per-click, and just getting an action on it, and actually fulfilling all those, getting the guys on the phones, really good sales training where they're comfortable, confident on the phones. So, you know, the point of contact from the website to the phone was a point that I think that tweet that really helped us out on the SEO, as far as just having a consistency between website to
Now, that's a good point. What percentage of your, let's say, pay-per-click or search engine traffic ends up going to the website and then calling you versus registering online?
Right now, we don't. The calls, I would say, off the top of my head, there's all these numbers in my head. I would say, you know, we're generating a few thousand clicks a month off of the website right now. And so as far as them calling, God, those stats.
Yeah, that's okay. But would you say a large portion or a small portion of those who go to your website end up contacting you first by phone versus registering online somewhere?
By far, probably about 90% probably call and interact with us.
Yeah, now that's an important number. And you guys know I've been doing these regional seminars, and one of the things I did before a couple of them is I had Bob Dunn call all the schools. And believe it or not, we had, I know at one seminar we had 20 schools that were early pre-registration. Of the 20 schools, we only had two of them that answered the phone. and then the two that answered the phone did just a horrible job. Spent all their time talking about what style they teach and what the credentials of the instructor were, and nothing about anything else. So it's so important to realize, even if most of your traffic is coming from online sources, you still have to both answer the phone and do it well.
Oh yeah, I think one of the key formulations that you have, Mr. Oliver, that Eric and me saw so much benefit is just the confidence which you had on the sales training. So I mean, you were confident because you trained all your guys. And then, like, when you were training us during the inner circle, it wasn't you holding a stick and hitting us upside the head, but kind of like a, look, you know, you tweak this and that, and then, you know, it was just like, you know, light bulb hit both of us on the head, you know. So I think that's invaluable. That's at least 100 hours of listening to tapes. Kind of things, and
you
broke it down in like 2 minutes. You know,
well, yeah, now you brought up a point, and as you know, I've been doing a lot of one-on-ones from these seminars, and I'm finding an awful lot of people who, even for many years, have been an ABNA member and getting great information on CD or DVD on the website. They still don't have the whatever the missing component is to implement at a high level. And, of course, what we're doing in Inner Circle and Peak Performers is two components. It's that get everybody in the room and do the mastermind effect. And then it's the one-on-one calls each month to really hone in on the priority order. From a standpoint of the coaching process, what do you find valuable about that? And what would you tell members as far as if they're really looking to double their results, why they should want to be a part of that?
Well, you know, my opinion is that it's like our martial arts. The fundamentals, you can't drill the fundamentals too much. And then having a level of accountability. I mean, it's the same thing we want to provide for our students, and that is, you know, good fundamental training and a level of accountability that has them show up regularly. And I think that's where we often fail is just having the accountability. So what we found was being in the inner circle, by having these coaching calls, is that it increased our level of accountability to where we're in action. And if you're in action, stuff starts moving. So, like, you never know what you're going to end up with, but you're in action and you start to create results. So that's the biggest, in my personal opinion, I mean, you can look at material a lot. You can know a lot of things. I always draw the analogy to college. I mean, going to college and then actually implementing what you learned are two totally different things almost. And it's really the same thing. It's like first getting the insights that you have. And sometimes it's actually implementing the stuff we already know we should be doing, but by being in the inner circle, by being on these calls with you, it puts us into action actually doing them because we're held accountable.
Yeah. I'm going to butcher it, but there was a great line in Good Will Hunting. Remember the movie with Matt Damon? And he's in the bar, and he says to the guy, you know, you're spending $100,000 on education you could have gotten with a library card. And the reality is that the reason you go to college and to a master's degree is not because you wouldn't have had access to the textbook anyway. Hell, I go shop at the college bookstore a couple times a year to just pick up stuff and study informally. But it's to have that guidance and mentorship to really internalize it at a reasonable pace. And then the reason for an internship or for some other level of coaching beyond that is to really apply it to your career. And this is really no different. You know, just because you have it on a DVD or you have it on a web video doesn't mean you're going to figure out how to intricately apply it in your particular circumstances and get things rolling. Back to the online traffic, the main source of your traffic is right now, would you say it's Google pay-per-click or is it something else?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's just a simple, you know, Google, you know, AdWords click. And they just come in. I know, is it Joe Balaki in Baltimore. Is that how you say his last name? Yeah, you know, he wasn't doing anything before. And then I think just talking to me November, he goes, okay, that's all we're doing. And after he did that, things just started clicking. I don't know exactly what his numbers were, but he saw a huge increase in traffic for the last time.
Yeah, Joe Baruki is is who you're talking about. In fact, I talked to him this morning, and yeah, he's had a huge uptick. He's had like 27 new students in 3 weeks. I think he said 90% of them were from his online efforts. And of course, we just did a pretty thorough critique of his website, so we're going to get that to improve for him as well. But yeah, that's Joe Baruki, and he hadn't been doing anything online before that last meeting. Speak of.
Exactly. And one of the things we really got was earlier this month when we all met in Colorado, in Denver, was, we basically, everybody you pulled up his website, and he was in the hot seat, and you just, I guess, tore him a new one, and then it was great because it was so, everybody just kind of pitched in, gave him, real reactions, and then, like, he gonna make the correct changes, and then like the first step was just doing the action. Then second part, the easiest part was just revising what he's already done. So, I think that really helped. It's gonna help him for the next 6 months as well.
Well, if I remember, we were really kind and gentle and subtle with him. maybe not. I think Joe, everything but this sucks, and let's go fix this. And by the way, what the hell is Terry doing with this thing? That was more of the context. But see, that's the deal is none of us got to be accomplished martial artists, whether it's in karate or kickboxing or Brazilian jiu-jitsu, by having a teacher who didn't correct our mistakes. And having a watchful eye of a coach who was showing us how to do it. It's why, very few people ever master any martial art by just getting a video series in the mail. Because without that human interaction and without having peers that are going through the same process and a coach to point out what might be obvious to the coach but isn't to you, those pieces don't work. I mean, that's, I think, what a lot of people miss in developing their school. Is they get frustrated and struggle, but they've never taken that next step to have that. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. That's the key, that's the underlying foundation.
Now, if somebody, let's start with this. If somebody has a school that's Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu or Muay Thai or predominantly adult-focused, what would be three or four key pieces of advice that you would give them in order to start approximating the results of where you're at now? What should they focus on?
I think number one is join like the program that's a program like yours, Mr. Oliver, would really, there's only two things in life you're doing. You're either spending money or time, or you're, dwindling time away. So, number one is save some time and some money and invest in your education with someone who's already been there, and then get surrounded with other people in the same boat that you're in. That way you have a peer-to-peer way of looking at things, then you have a hierarchical way of looking at things as well. So, you just get this leap in education and performance by just doing that alone. Well, I think number one is going to really benefit you, because you're just going to, If you had Bruce Lee right there telling you exactly how to kick and how to punch, save so much more time than having to go through all the trials and errors.
I'm going to use that one. You just called me what, the Bruce Lee of the martial arts business. I'll have to use that one. But maybe a couple of myths that are perpetuated, especially in the adult market. Is should you run your martial arts school for adults like a fitness center or like a traditional martial arts school to maximize your results?
Well, one of our things with our mixed martial arts and is that we, you know, we enjoy a nice life, and we attribute that to really having a balance in life in all seven areas. And really, for although what we wanted to perpetuate inside of mixed martial arts was the foundation of integrity and honesty and respect, all the foundations that martial arts are built on. And I don't, you know, I always say whatever's good for the kids is good for the adults. You know, whenever my kids, if we're at church and there's something for the kids, there's something there for me. And we really feel like the adult program is the same way, that, you know, the adults, you know, we want to live into a society where it's rewarding and fun and it's positive. And, of course, there's a lot of media attention on all the negative stuff, but, you know, we're really not about that. We're really about us promoting God, family, and friends, and so that's what we've been about. And that's probably a misconception about the adult market. I think that the bulk of people out there want to have that in their life, and mixed martial arts is a great way of doing it if you put all the foundations of martial arts in it. And to do that, you run your gym like that, not like a 24-hour fitness gym or some other chain, but really like us being in communication with one another in a way that provides fulfillment in our lives. So yeah, absolutely, it should be run like a martial arts gym. I mean, that's what we're all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, the next thing that people think is that the way to continually improve their gross revenue is by continue to add curriculums and programs and to create a more complicated, multifaceted school. Do you think that's the right answer, or is it to simplify and focus?
Well, yeah, so that's what we're in the middle of. I mean, that's really the part of the project we're in with the Inner Circle and with your coaching is really streamlining everything down to get efficiency to it. We're in a real growth phase, and a school with 150 was very different than one with 350, and 600 was much different than 350. So it has been and still is a little, it's complicated at 600, and so that's what we're in the middle of, streamlining the efficiencies of that. That's what you've been helping us with.
Yeah, absolutely, because, yeah, I mean, at 600 students, you want to be grossing, $150,000 a month. And in order to do that, you want to have incredibly good retention and incredibly good service and not lose track of anybody. And I've always said there's several benchmarks. You know, when you open a school, if you're not 100 students, you don't have any critical mass at all. That's why I always try to do that in the first month when we do a grand opening. But the next level is 300, and the systems in place to run a school over 300 and under 300 are very different. Not different in the standpoint of structure, but require an awful lot more focus and an awful lot more ability to keep everything spinning and not lose track of anybody.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct.
Well, gentlemen, it's been fabulous. What I'd certainly like to do, if it's okay with you, is talk to you a couple more times and share your insights with all the NAPNA members and show them how you're really developing to that next level. But maybe a couple key takeaways is, you know, there certainly is a big adult market, and you can find a whole bunch of them online doing it properly. One of the things that we are doing, by the way, with you guys are going to be involved with it, is a series of webinars for the Peak Performer Inner Circle members on every aspect of the Internet. So we're going to do pay-per-click and Facebook and Bing and site design to have the kind of results that you're having across the board. And of course, that last meeting, we accomplished that a lot with several of the guys who made dramatic impact. But what we want to focus on is showing people how to have a high volume but high net income location, and at the same time, to not lose sight of it's a martial arts school.
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the martial arts.
Any last couple of words of wisdom to share with the gang guys?
We just want to thank you and thank everybody out there. I mean, this is an industry. Sometimes I think that we, as martial artists, don't really value ourselves at the level that we make a difference in the world. And I just want to encourage everyone out there. You know, to make it, you know, making a difference in the world, supporting one another inside of that, and then, you know, and being compensated both emotionally and physically and financially for that contribution.
Oh, absolutely. It's so easy to lose track of it and turn this into something that's only physical and forget about the huge emotional impact that we have on people, the huge impact we have on their lives, and ultimately the success skills we teach them that carries over into everything. It doesn't matter whether it's a 25-year-old adult male or a 45-year-old woman or a 6-year-old girl. Each of them have a huge impact for martial arts training if we do it right.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you know, our staff thanked you as well, Mr. Oliver. I mean, they really, you know, another key thing was, you know, just getting everybody involved and making the entire facility and the martial artists here and the staff just a team, and then, you know, just creating that space for us. So thank you a lot.
Oh, you're very welcome. And you guys are going to have the world record highest grossing adult school in the world here, I think, in 2012. So we're going to be hard at work on that.
That's great. All right. Awesome. Thank you.
Okay. All in favor, raise your hand. Well, good. Well, we'll ring off for the day. I appreciate the time that you've given us here. And I'm sure the members have found a lot of value. We'll try to do it a couple more times here and share your growth as we go.
All right. Great. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Thank you.